So if you are running a business, adopting a new operating philosophy is, well, it's a lot like a patient adopting a new health regimen.
Yeah, that's a really good way to frame it.
Right. Because people love to focus on the flashy tools. Like they buy the expensive running shoes, they download some premium fitness app, and they announce to their entire organization that they are turning over a new leaf.
Absolutely, the big announcement.
Yeah, but failure almost always happens because they completely ignore the underlying unglamorous daily behaviors, the systemic routines you actually need to sustain that health.
Right, the shoes just end up sitting in the closet.
Exactly. And the business goes right back to its chaotic baseline.
I mean, it is the exact same mechanism in business operations.
Yeah.
The leadership intent is there, the capital investment in new software is there, but the fundamental infrastructure to support the behavioral change is just completely missing.
And that disconnect is fatal to operational efficiency.
It really is.
So let's get straight into it. Today's mission for this deep dive is to objectively examine the mechanics of a successful lean operating philosophy.
Right.
We are looking at some really practical insights drawn from a detailed diagnostic by Russell Cummings and Tony Dunn. This is from their presentation for Simplicity Works and Shift.
Yeah, we want to understand why most lean programs fail, and more importantly, what highly successful, efficient businesses do differently.
Because true lean implementation, it requires far more than just downloading a continuous improvement checklist and hoping your team figures it out.
Definitely. If you are a business owner or a functional leader listening right now, you have likely heard all the buzzwords.
Oh, yeah. Lean, agile, all of it.
Right. But we're going to look at the objective data of where these initiatives actually break down and how you can build a system that practically guarantees sustained performance.
So let's establish a baseline using that objective data, because before you can build a perfect system, you have to, diagnose the current
Right,
illness.
you need a baseline.
There is a fascinating group diagnostic we need to look at from their presentation. They surveyed a group of organizations to see where they were functionally strong and where they struggled when it came to lean principles.
And the results, they really expose a systemic contradiction in how modern businesses operate,
How so?
where we see this massive gap between what leaders think they are doing and what is actually happening on the floor.
Yeah, breaking the numbers down, the survey scored different areas out of a maximum possible score. And the top three strongest areas were respect for people, which scored the highest at 5.18,
Right.
then lean leadership at 5.12, and customer value focus at 5.04. So on the surface, the narrative is positive. Leadership cares about their team and they care about the customer.
That is the narrative leadership tells itself. Yes, the
Yes.
intent is highly positive.
But let me push back here, because when we look at the bottom of the diagnostic, the top three weakest areas paint a very different picture.
They absolutely do.
Lean culture and mindset scored the absolute lowest at 4.54. Standardization and systems was right there at 4.59. And problem solving was at 4.71.
Yeah.
So if leaders are rating their respect for people so highly, is that real respect? Or is that just management giving themselves a pat on the back while their frontline workers suffer through broken, chaotic processes?
Well, that right there is the fundamental operational bottleneck. High respect and high intent without standardization means you are just relying on sheer human effort.
Right, just brute force.
Exactly. Goodwill to get things done. You have organizations where leaders genuinely want their people to succeed, but they fail to provide the systemic tracks for that success.
So what ends up happening?
Leaders run around putting out fires. They save the day, which, makes them feel indispensable. It feels like leadership.
But objectively, it's not.
No. Objectively, a manager constantly firefighting is a symptom of failed systemic design. They are failing to translate their high-level goals into daily repeatable systems.
So, without those systems, a lean culture simply cannot take root. I don't care how much pizza you buy the team on Fridays.
Right. Pizza doesn't fix a broken workflow.
Which brings us to the architecture of a real solution. The Simplicity Works model lays out a structural framework to move an organization out of firefighting mode.
Yes, this is crucial.
It's visualized in the presentation as a five-tier pyramid, but the core principle is causality. The bottom layers dictate whether the top layers can even exist.
Yeah, the order of operations is non-negotiable here. You really cannot skip steps.
So what's at the bottom?
The foundational tier is all about commit or principles. Things like challenge, teamwork, and what the Japanese call genchigen butsu.
Which means go see, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
These are categorized almost as natural laws of operations, with severe consequences if ignored.
Go see is a perfect example, because if a leader doesn't physically go to the factory floor or, you know, the office pod where the work actually happens to observe the process, their data is entirely theoretical.
Right. They're managing a spreadsheet,
yeah,
not a business. And if you don't have those principles of respect and teamwork firmly established first, your feedback loops will be completely contaminated.
Because people won't be honest.
Exactly. Frontline workers won't tell you about the broken machine or the redundant software process if they fear retribution. So you end up building systems on bad data.
Okay, so once those principles are in place, we move to the second tier, which is about selecting tools.
Right, the select phase.
Things designed to stabilize, ensure quality, and create flow. But there is a glaring trap here, isn't there? Most failed lean programs start at this tier.
They do. It's so common. A business leader reads an article, decides they need efficiency, and immediately buys a massive enterprise software tool for workflow management.
Right. Just throw money at a tool.
Yeah. But tools are useless and, frankly, often destructive if they aren't deliberately selected to stabilize a specific, well-understood workflow.
Right.
If you automate a broken process, you literally just generate errors faster. Tools must serve the system, not the other way around.
That leads directly to the third tier, the create phase, the creation of those systems. And the core directive here is to eliminate the eight wastes.
Yes. This is where the role of the leader fundamentally shifts from being the chief firefighter to the chief architect.
But let's actually define this, because waste is, well, it's a bit of a vague term. What does this look like in practice for a business owner?
Well, the eight wastes are specific drains on your profit margin. They include defects, overproduction, waiting, non-utilized talent, transportation, inventory, motion, and extra processing.
So it spells out downtime.
Exactly, downtime. Let's look at waiting and extra processing as an example.
Okay.
In a white-collar environment, if an invoice requires three separate managerial approvals before it can be paid, and it just sits in an inbox for 4 days waiting for a signature, that is systemic waste.
And the leader's job isn't to just personally sign those invoices faster to clear the backlog.
Right.
The leader's job is to design a system where redundant approvals are eliminated entirely.
Which brings us to the fourth tier, build. This focuses on behaviors and culture.
Okay.
The directive here is to start the journey with an organizational methodology called 5S. And, you know, the most critical insight in this entire model is this: systems drive behavior and behavior builds culture.
You cannot mandate a culture from the top down.
You really can't.
Let's use a non-business analogy to make this visceral. Think about traffic engineering.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Right. A city planner who wants a culture of safe driving doesn't just put up a billboard asking people nicely to please slow down.
No, that never works.
Instead, they build physical systems. They install concrete roundabouts, physical lane dividers, and synchronized traffic lights.
Yes.
Those systems physically and psychologically dictate the behavior of the drivers. Over time, that structured behavior creates the culture of safety.
And that translates directly to business operations. The system must physically and procedurally constrain the behavior to the optimal path. That's exactly what 5S does.
Right, let's unpack 5S, because I think some people dismiss it as just glorified janitorial work.
They do, and it's a huge mistake.
It stands for sort, set in order, shine, standardize, and sustain. But how does taping an outline around a stapler on a desk actually change corporate culture?
Because it removes friction and forces a behavioral loop.
Mm.
During the sort phase, a team goes through a workspace and removes anything not strictly needed for the task.
Right.
You suddenly realize how much capital is tied up in useless inventory or redundant tools. Then you set an order. Every tool gets a designated, highly visible home.
So when an employee finishes a task,
the visual cue of an empty space forces the behavior of returning the tool. When this happens thousands of times across an organization, you aren't just cleaning up. You're building a culture of accountability and precision.
And when you have those behaviors locked in, you finally reach the top of the pyramid, achieve, which is sustainable results. It's a culture where every person is engaged every day in making improvements. But if the goal of these systems is to drive specific behaviors, what is the core behavior we are trying to extract?
No, it's not just physical repetition. It's a fundamental shift in how people think on the job.
Right. It is a profound pivot from just physical output to mental engagement.
To illustrate this, we need to look at how traditional management views an employee versus how a lean system views them.
Yeah, the presentation highlights a quote by Shijo Shingo, one of the leading architects of the Toyota production system. He said, "Lean is a way of thinking, not a list of things to do."
Right.
So if your employees are just checking boxes on a 5S audit clipboard without actually understanding the underlying logic of why waste is bad, you haven't implemented lean.
No, you've just created another administrative headache.
Exactly. And Taichi Ono, the father of the system, took it a step further. He famously said, "People don't come to Toyota to work, they come to think."
Which is such a paradigm shift. Traditional industrial and corporate management views the employee as a passive task executor. You know, you are paid to perform step A, then step B, repeatedly.
Check your brain at the door.
Exactly. But lean elevates the employee to an active problem solver. It assumes the person performing the data entry, or operating the forklift, is the single most qualified person on earth to optimize that specific process.
They also mentioned a Mark Twain quote in the slides. "Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect. The goal is to see waste like you've never seen it before."
Right.
But let me challenge this from the perspective of a P&L-focused business owner.
Go for it.
If I am running a busy accounting firm or a high-volume logistics hub, does this mean I need to scrap how I measure productivity entirely?
Well,
Because if an employee stops loading boxes or stops processing accounts to, pause and reflect on how to identify waste, my traditional performance metrics are going to show them as highly unproductive for that hour. How do you objectively justify that hit to efficiency?
that is a highly valid operational concern, and honestly, it is the exact reason most leaders abandon lean early on.
Yeah, because the numbers dip.
Right. Your short-term traditional lag metrics like units produced per hour or invoices processed per day might take a temporary dip, but you are trading a short-term blip for a massive long-term systemic optimization.
It's the ROI of thinking.
Yes, perfectly said. If an employee spends an hour thinking and discovers a way to permanently eliminate 10 minutes of wasted motion from every single cycle going forward, the return on investment for that 1 hour of unproductive time is astronomical. The problem is that traditional accounting struggles to measure the value of a problem that didn't happen. You have to learn to measure the value of the improvement, not just the raw volume of the output.
Okay, but to prevent this thinking from becoming abstract daydreaming, the philosophy has to be structured into highly practical daily mechanics. A business can't just have everyone sitting under a tree pondering waste.
No, you'd go bankrupt.
Right, so there is a framework in the presentation called the Daily Management Triangle designed to keep this highly focused.
Yes. This is how we move from theory to daily execution without overwhelming the daily operations.
What are the pieces of that?
The three sides of this daily management triangle are autonomy, communication, and accountability. And the anchor holding it all together in the center is an everyday, rapid stand-up meeting.
The daily stand-up is basically the pulse of the system.
Exactly.
But there is a very real danger here. If not managed correctly, a daily meeting just becomes a 30-minute grievance session where everyone complains and nothing gets fixed.
Which is why the stand-up must be governed by strict visual parameters.
Yeah.
But before we get to the meeting structure, we have to address the core truth written right in the middle of this operational triangle.
Oh, yeah. Lean does not create problems. It exposes the problems your current system is hiding.
Yes. That might be the single most important takeaway for a business leader listening to this deep dive.
Because when you implement daily stand-ups and visual tracking, you will suddenly see a massive, terrifying spike in reported issues, bottlenecks, and defects.
Right. And the natural instinct is to panic and assume the new system is ruining the business.
But it's not.
No, the business was already failing in those areas. Those problems were always there, silently eating away at your profit margins, hidden in emails, workarounds, and undocumented favors between departments.
Lean simply turned the lights on, and now you can see all the cockroaches.
Exactly. It's scary, but it's necessary.
So, to manage the sheer volume of what those lights expose, you need a triage protocol. The presentation outlines specific metrics for continuous improvement. They advocate for the 1% rule.
Right, aiming for tiny, marginal, easily achievable gains.
The specific targets they suggest for a team are 2 small improvements per month and 1 workplace organization or 5S project per quarter.
This is a masterclass in capacity management. If you turn on the lights, see 100 problems, and tell a team to fix everything, they will just freeze.
Yeah, it's paralyzing.
By quantifying it just 2 small improvements a month, you make continuous improvement a manageable routine rather than a disruptive, exhausting overhaul.
And during that daily stand-up, leaders use what's called the awesome meeting puzzle framework to rapidly categorize these issues.
Right.
It breaks everything down into four distinct pieces so the team knows immediately how to handle a problem without getting bogged down.
Because time is the enemy of a stand-up meeting. This framework ensures you don't spend 15 minutes debating a problem that requires a 3-day engineering fix.
So the four puzzle pieces work like this. First, actions. These are urgent things that affect day-to-day operations immediately. A server is down, a shipment is missing. You do these now.
Yep.
Second, small improvements. This is the 1% rule. Someone suggests moving the printer closer to the desks to save walking time. It takes 5 minutes to execute.
Exactly.
Third, 5S, a larger organization task, targeted for once a quarter, maybe reorganizing the entire supply closet.
Yeah.
And fourth, structured problem solving. This is for complex issues that require root cause analysis to prevent reoccurrence. You don't solve this in the stand-up. You assign a team to tackle it offline.
The physical categorization prevents overwhelm. The role of the leader in these brief meetings is simply to facilitate that sorting process.
And all of this categorization happens on visual boards. This is not happening in a hidden Excel spreadsheet on a manager's hard drive.
No, because data hidden in a folder does not change daily team behavior.
The source materials show extensive photos of these setups. Large whiteboards physically located where the work actually happens, divided into sections for people, communication, and improvements.
There is a specific scoreboard from a company called Wheeler Cycles that perfectly illustrates how this should function. They physically divide their metrics down the middle.
Yeah, this was interesting.
They put lead measures on the left and lag measures on the right.
This distinction is paramount for a leader. A lag measure tells you what has already happened. Gross revenue at the end of the quarter, total units shipped, customer churn rate.
Right, you can't change a lag measure. It's just historical data.
But a lead measure tracks the specific manageable activities that predict the lag measure. Number of daily outbound sales calls made, hours of machine uptime today, number of quality checks performed this shift.
It's the dashboard of an airplane.
Oh, yeah.
If a pilot only looks at their estimated time of arrival, the lag measure, they are flying blind. They will crash. To reach the destination safely, they need the lead measures. Real-time altitude, airspeed, and heading.
And those visual boards give your team their real-time altitude and heading.
Exactly.
They also use improvement ideas boards with actual before and after photos of their 5S implementations. Physical proof that the environment is getting better.
And they use sticky notes so the whole team can vote on which improvement to tackle next. It makes the progress undeniable and democratic.
But, you know, we have to set expectations for the business leaders listening. Implementing these boards, holding daily accountability meetings, forcing hidden problems into the light, it is going to get incredibly messy.
It really is.
Which brings us to the messy reality of success. You need a realistic trajectory, otherwise you will abandon the system at the first sign of friction.
Right.
There is a brilliant graphic used in the presentation to explain this, simply titled Success. On the left, it shows what people think operational success looks like. A perfectly straight, clean arrow pointing up and to the right.
But on the right, it shows what success really looks like in practice.
Yeah.
It is a tangled, chaotic, messy scribble of a line that loops back on itself, drops down, circles around, and only eventually points upward.
And that scribble is the reality of exposing your hidden system wastes. When you transition from a culture of heroic firefighting to a systemic lean culture, you will try a new standard operating procedure and it will fail.
Yep. You will have to iterate.
You will uncover massive cross-departmental conflicts that were previously hidden by excess inventory or luffer time. It will actually feel like things are getting worse.
But for business leaders who are ready to actually navigate that scribble, there's a practical next step mentioned in the source material. There is a lean boot camp happening on Thursday, August 13th. At 3 p.m. in Brisbane.
Okay, good to know.
The investment is $599 per person, with team discounts available. And, you know, sending multiple leaders from different departments is highly strategic.
Why is that?
Because it prevents the lone wolf scenario, where one enthusiastic manager tries to implement visual boards while the rest of the executive team continues to operate in the dark.
That makes a lot of sense. But if the reality of success looks like a chaotic scribble, how does a business owner objectively know they are actually on the right path and not just failing miserably?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. How do you trust the scribble when your lag metrics are taking a hit?
You trust the scribble by relying ruthlessly on the mechanics we just outlined. You rely on your daily stand-up to process the chaos in real time. You look at your lead measures.
Yep.
Are the daily safety audits happening? Are two small improvements being made this month? Is the team actively communicating problems instead of hiding them?
So it's about the process.
Yes. If those lead measures are functioning, you are navigating the Scribble successfully, even if the quarterly profit hasn't caught up yet.
To summarize what we've covered today, the objective data shows that successful lean implementation requires leaders to stop the endless, exhausting cycle of firefighting.
Right.
Instead, you have to build structured systems, visual boards, lead measures, daily triage stand-ups that naturally drive the behaviors you want. It is a core operating philosophy where every single employee is actively engaged in seeing waste and solving problems.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, consider the core mechanic we explored. We established that lean does not create problems. It merely exposes what your current comfortable system is hiding.
Yeah.
We also know that every business is perfectly designed to achieve the exact results it is experiencing right now. So look closely at your own operations. If you were to install that daily stand-up and those visual lead measures tomorrow morning, what specific hidden problem are you most terrified a lean system would expose if you finally turned the lights on?
A challenging operational question for any leader. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We highly encourage you to take these objective insights and start building the systems your people actually need.